children that we have. We've got good news of future babies on the way, and we've had good news of new grandchildren and great-grandchildren recently with the recent delivery of Naomi's little boy. So we can give thanks for the healthy children that we have, and it certainly is a joyous thing to be involved in the delivery of a baby. And we're going to have a couple of Bible verses, and then we're going to think a little bit more of this. So thank you, Lorraine, for the verses you're going to bring.
The first verse is from the Old Testament, and it's Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. I will make your pains in childbearing very severe with painful labour, and you will give birth to children. And the New Testament verse is from John chapter 16, verse 21. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world.
Thank you, Lorraine. And there you've got those two verses that really sum up the experience of childbirth. You've got all of the anguish and the pain, and yet the joy there is when the baby is safely delivered. And so many of the mums will say that, you know, they do forget afterwards, eventually, what it was like. And I can remember as a midwife practicing locally, I looked after a number of my friends from school, and one of my very good friends, I was looking after her. And she said, Diane, take it away. I've changed my mind. I don't want it. And I said, it's too late for that now. You know, this baby's coming whether you want it or not. But sure enough, she did forget. And she has the joy now of being a grandmother, and her sons are in their late 20s and 30 and have their own children. Genesis points us to the direction of the beginning of time, and I often wonder what it would have been like if Adam and Eve hadn't disobeyed God, because clearly there was a different plan for childbirth, because it says that only after they had done wrong did the woman have to endure pain during childbirth. Often I used to think there must be an easier way than this, you know. And I think there probably was, originally. And then, as we see, sin messed things up. Sin, unfortunately, always has consequences. And in the Bible we read that God has forgiven our sin. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. There is that free offer there for each one of us. We do not have to be burdened by sin. But sometimes the consequences are ongoing. And we see that in the process of childbirth. As a midwife overseas, I was very familiar with the sort of situation that you've seen in the film from the BMS. And the same traditions of women giving birth out in the animal shed or even outside the building were common in parts of rural Nepal. I remember one of the colleagues that I worked with in a clinic, who they were expecting their fourth baby, and he had purposefully brought his mother into the small town where we were working so that he could be assured that when her time came, she could stay indoors and deliver. And it was bad timing in a way, but we had to go and do a trek around the district to check on some health posts. And unfortunately, as we walked back into the small town, we were walking past the lodgings where they were staying, and there was a pile of corrugated iron and cardboard in the backyard. And when we stopped and looked, his wife had gone into labour the night before, and there she was out in the open underneath this pile of cardboard with a newborn baby. And it's really shocking to see that sort of thing happening, and we scooped her up and took her home. Likewise, I remember being called one evening, and just take note, babies nearly always come at night. They never come at convenient times. And I had a knocking on my door one evening, And I went down, and there was somebody saying, could I please go to the village, because their sister was in labour. And we had to walk for nearly an hour to get to the house. And as I got to the house, there was no electricity on. They didn't have electricity, so I went inside. It was very, very dark. But they'd got a fire to keep keep the mother warm. And sitting by the fire was the grandmother. And she had this baby wrapped up. And she gave me the baby. And when I unwrapped it, the baby unfortunately had died. And it had probably died about the time that they called me. And I think they just hoped that I could do something miraculous. And clearly I couldn't. And what made me so upset about that was, if I had been called earlier, the chances were that that baby would have survived. It was a very healthy looking baby boy. But at the time of delivery, probably nobody was there who could have just given that bit of help with bringing the baby out or helping it to take its first breath. Something very simple that when they do the delivery courses through BNS workers, they can train them to do. And one of the things that I used to enjoy doing was training traditional birth attendants and local women on how to give birth safely. And we used to give them out their own little pack, very simple things, just a little paper bag, or it was like a disposable bag, pair of gloves, something to tie the cord, and that was about it, and a razor blade, and that was it. And we would train them about washing their hands, keeping the mother somewhere clean and dry indoors, and then looking after the baby, keeping the baby warm and making sure that everything was clean. There is pain in childbirth, there's pain and distress, but there's also the hope and expectancy. And as I said earlier, we all love it when we hear that somebody's going to have a baby. But the risk, there are still risks involved, even in the UK, even with the expert care that we have. It is still a risky business. And one of the things that is so striking is that the Lord Jesus, when he chose to come, took that risk. He didn't miraculously appear as a fully grown man, but he was prepared through his mother Mary to make that very dangerous entrance into the world on our behalf. Romans 8:22 says this: we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And Paul likened our existence in the world to that whole process of childbirth. He said, just in the same way that the mother is in extreme pain, so our world is in extreme pain. And I don't know about you, when you listen to things like the recent tsunami in Indonesia, but that resonates with me. The earth is groaning, isn't it? There is something very wrong about so much of our world, both with the natural disasters, but also with man-made disasters as well. But we know that Jesus, in his incarnation, came so that we could know, we could have an entrance into a different way of life. And just as when you see in some traditional communities, they consider blood to be unclean, and that's why they will put the mothers outside, because they believe that it would defile the whole household. So when Jesus died, he died a death that was really ignominious. It was a criminal's death. And again, he was shedding blood and water in a place outside the city, in a place that was unholy. It was on the dung heap, if you like, of mankind. And he did that for each one of us, so that we could know what it was to be birthed into a new way of life. And that, I think, is just what is so tremendous about the whole of the incarnation story. And we'll be thinking about that again when we come to Christmas, the miracle of Christ's birth, and then his eventual resurrection, opened up that door into an eternity for each one of us that is going to be so different. So whereas the earth is groaning, it is also saying there is something beyond. There will one day be a new heaven and a new earth. We're not going to continue like this forever, but we can look forward to that eternity. Hebrews 12:2 says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And again, Galatians 4:19 says, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. So it continues that theme of thinking that we move into a new way of living as we come to Christ. And that idea that once Christ has been birthed in us, we become more and more like him as we allow him to have more and more of us. And I do hope that everyone will sign up for the prayer course, because as we join together in prayer, there is a dynamism, there is a power in praying together. And when we pray after the service, I think sometimes we have the idea that we can only be prayed for if we have something seriously wrong, if there's a serious problem. But can I encourage you about prayer? Because for me, I find that when I meet with other people to pray, it really encourages my spirit. And it just encourages my faith. And so sometimes it's not just about getting answers to something that's really urgent for us that we're worried about. Sometimes it can be the coming together to pray for those things that are on our hearts, to pray for our relatives, our unbelieving friends, our neighbours. And some of us have laboured for a long time in prayer for some of our loved ones. We maybe have felt like we never see any answers. And if you've had a baby, you will know that 9 months can seem like a very long time before the baby appears. And for us too, I think it can seem like a very long time. I've been praying for some of my family members for over 50 years that they've come to Christ. And it's the meeting together, the sharing of that together, that encourages us, because we want them too to come into that new life, to that new way of being, of knowing the Christ who not only brings us everlasting life for the future, but brings that to us now as well. Prayer is powerful, and it can birth in us a new hope for the future. We are fortunate with all of the medical facilities that we have in our society. And yet, as we've seen in so many places around the world, it's a very different story. And yet, what BMS is doing is that they are bringing hope in those situations. And a very small amount of money can often provide training for a large number of people. And what those missionaries are doing is they are showing Christ in action. They are showing God's love in action. They may not be able to speak it with words. They may not be able to preach the gospel. But every time they go and they show kindness and care and compassion and dignity, they are showing Christ. They are living out Christ in that community. And that has an impact, and I've seen that happen as well. We also can be the sorts of people who can bring compassion and love and kindness. And I think you would agree with me that our country needs that as much as anywhere else around the world. We need people who are prepared to give a helping hand. And I'm always amazed that when you say to people, would you like me to pray about that for you? It's very, very seldom that they will say no. Most times they will say yes, and they will accept prayer. So as we come to an end, it's not going to be a long talk this morning, but it's really to bring those strands together. Because when I was telling somebody about this, they said to me, what's that got to do with harvest? You know, the traditional harvest service we think of as lots of nice fresh fruit and vegetables at the front. But most of us don't live in an area where we can see the fields. We don't see the combine harvesters. We don't see the harvest being brought in. We go down to Lidl or Morrison's or Tesco's. And as Alex has already said, we buy what we want. We have more than we need, and that's why we're giving some of our extra to those who don't have it locally. But also, we have more than what we need with our healthcare. We complain about the health service, but we are so fortunate that within often walking distance, but certainly within a bus drive or a car drive, we can get to a hospital, a GP clinic, or a health centre. And so we're really pleased to be able to support BMS's appeal for Life's First Cry to make sure that other people as well can do exactly the same. So we will be taking up our offering. You will see that Life's First Cry envelopes were on the chairs. There wasn't quite enough to go around every chair. So if you've been sitting on a seat where there wasn't an envelope, I know there are some other seats where there's some spare ones. If you feel you've not come prepared today and you've been moved by what you've seen, then please just take it away and make your response. And we will be collecting these envelopes for maybe the next two Sundays before we send off all our donations to BMS. So prayerfully consider what you feel you can give. But we will now just have a little reflective video, and we will take up our offering for those who would like to give something today. Thank you.